The following shiur has been presented by Rav Eliezer Cohen, Rav of Beis Medrash Teferes Eliezer of Lakewood, New Jersey, and is brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center. The center can be reached for halachic services, consultations, and shilas at 888-485-VAAD or at thehalachacenter.org.
Masechta Shabbos Daf Kuf Gimel. Today we are going to discuss a little bit about the Malacha of Makkah B'Patish, as mentioned in the Rishonim, in different areas in the Masechta, and based on a few Gemaras on our Daf. The definition of Makkah B'Patish literally means a hammer blow. It is a description of one of the activities that they did in the Mishkan, and specifically it refers to the final hammer blow that completed a keli of the Mishkan. According to some Mefarshim, this term refers to the act of repairing the goldsmith's hammer by striking it on the anvil to flatten and smoothen the surface of the hammerhead. However, the general malacha of Makkah B'Patish may be defined as any act of completion. This act does not need to be accomplished by a hammer or any other tool. In fact, any manner of creating, perfecting, or repairing an item can be considered an act of completion and can be classified under the malacha of Makkah B'Patish Mid'oraisa. Many people do not realize that there are many things that fall into the category of Makkah B'Patish. Some examples which are mentioned in the Sefer Lamites Malachos are fashioning a hook out of a wire hanger. For example, a person wants to pull out a lost item from under the furniture, so he takes a wire hanger and shapes it into a hook. Or detaching the pages of a new book that were not properly cut at the corners. When you get a new book, sometimes they're stuck, so you can flip through them and loosen them up, and they open up. That's Makkah B'Patish, because you are completing the book in a certain sense. You're able to now read it without having pages stuck together. If a person has a safety pin that was bent out of shape and he bends it back into a correct shape, or straightening the bent clasp of a necklace or a bracelet, or if his eyeglass is bent and he wants to straighten it out, or if he wants to trim off any kind of extra plastic that's attached to his plastic spoon or a plastic cup, sometimes it's like little pieces, people will take them off. And an interesting one is if a person inserts a new shoelace into a shoe, that's where he's actually completing his shoe in a certain sense by now being able to tie his shoe in a proper way. Even a minor modification can be considered Makkah B'Patish. If a person has a spoon that's bent a little bit and he bends it back into shape, that would be considered Makkah B'Patish. Sometimes a person can have a suit that he gets from the cleaners that was just hemmed up and they still have that white chalk mark that the tailor left over there. You're not allowed to rub it off because that's kind of Makkah B'Patish. Your suit is now going to be ready for use by doing that. If a person has a box of tissues where tissues are attached to each other, sometimes it's these little pieces that are attached and he separates the tissue, that can be considered Makkah B'Patish because he is now finalizing the production of the tissue by separating it from the rest of them. If a person has a handle of a knife that fell off and he replaces it, it can be considered Makkah B'Patish. Now, today we are going to discuss an interesting outlook and a view on the din of Makkah B'Patish. We mentioned that Makkah B'Patish means the final hammer blow. Now, in a certain sense, final to our minds means that there's not going to be anything after that. But that is not necessarily the case. There is a din of Makkah B'Patish, even if it's not the final hammer blow, rather it's the final hammer blow of that particular step. A few examples of this would be, if a person has a lump of clay, and he wants to form it into a pottery. So the way it is, they make like a beginning of the shape of the clay is they'll poke a little bit of indentation in it, and then it's going to be fired up in the oven, and then it's going to be completed. Making that indentation can also be considered Makkah B'Patish because it is finishing that particular step. That's what I would like to discuss today a little more by Riches. The Meiri writes on Daf Ayin Hey this concept by Riches, and he says the following. The Gemara by us, the Meiri quotes the Gemara on our Daf, Daf Kuf Gimel Amud Beis. The Gemara says that Hatsar Tzura, the Kli, if a person shapes or carves out a picture on a vessel, he is Chayiv. And the Meiri writes that this Tzir Kol Shehu that the Gemara is referring to, Tzir Kol Shehu, the Gemara says, is not necessarily the entire picture. It could also be talking about it as just the beginning of the picture. As the Miri says in the following Lashon, Ratzaloimar, Shanishlam HaKli, Vizet Oisa Batsura Lina Oisa, a person has a finished Kli, and this person comes along and makes a picture on it to make it look nice, in the manner how they engrave crystal and so forth. V'ein HaKli Tzarech LaKlal, you do not need to have this engraving on your crystal vase in order to be able to use the Kli. You can use the vase perfectly well without the picture that's engraved on it. Hareze HaKa B'Patish, this is considered Maka B'Patish. Now, that means to say that since this piece of work is not necessarily the integral for the Kli, still it's considered HaKa B'Patish. V'loisoiv Dover B'Ashlam HaSura, and not only when it's the final step of the creation of the Kli. In other words, don't think that it's because you're finalizing and completing the entire engraving, even if it's the beginning, and you only did a little bit of the picture, you just, let's say, made the outline, and you still didn't fill in the details, you're already chayiv, u'kumasha amru b'masech azu, and he quotes Ara Gemara, hatzor tzura kolshu, shakolshu gemar malacha, ena gemar nasa pam achas levad. If a person is tzor tzura kolshu, still, even though it's not the entire picture, but it is still, in a certain sense, a complete gemar malacha, in other words, where you're going to engrave now, you're not going to engrave later. You're going to engrave next to it. You're going to continue your picture in the next, charis, in the next crack that you're going to engrave. But since in this particular area you finished that segment of the picture, that's considered makom patish, and a person would be chayiv of makom patish midiraisa. And he says, in fact, if you think about it, that is really the idea of makom patish. When in the Mishkan they took the hammer to flatten out the metal or whatever they were doing over there, it took a few blows of the hammer. It didn't happen in one shot. So every makom patish really is not only the final hammer blow, it could be one of the final hammer blows. Therefore, anything that's considered a certain level of completion would be considered a makom patish, as explained by the Meir. We mentioned in passing along the way that the halacha of makom patish is, according to the Meiri, only in something that is not integral to the malacha. Now, it's important to point this out. A person who's doing a malacha can be doing the malacha because it's needed. For example, when you form the vase, you form the glass, or you form the kli, whatever it is, the pottery that he's making, it's necessary to form the entire pot, and that is a complete malacha. However, what is unnecessary is to add the engraving on it. Now, what is the point of this? The point of it is because makom patish by definition means it's the final hammer blow. Now, even if it's going to be happening at the end of a stage, not necessarily in the final hammer blow of the product, but it has to be at least something that's a finishing step. That means it's like an extra thing, a cherry on top that you're adding to the malacha. The Sfas Emes in the Gemara earlier in the Ayin Hei Amud Beis explains with this another Gemara. The Gemara says, a person throws a wet branch into an oven, he's chayav mishum avashal. Rashi explains because he's cooking the branch to dry it out from the liquid. He wants it to become dry and hard. So the Sfas Emes asks, why is it that the person is only chayav mishum avashal? He should also be chayav because of makom patish. He should also be chayav because he's finishing off the production of his branch. He's now making it usable as firewood. So the Sfas Emes gives a few answers. One of the answers is based on the Meiri that we just said, that since the malacha of drying it out is not a malacha in and of itself. Let's quote the words of the Sfas Emes. Yesh loimar oy, the makom patish ein chayav, ela heichel de mitzad atzmei ein malacha chayav mishum de goyim hakli. The Sfas Emes is explaining to us that makom patish has to have a little more than just being a final step. It also has to be a step that's not integral to the production. The Meiri, in fact, we mentioned this in passing as we quoted the Lashon of the Meiri. The Meiri says the same thing. And the Sfas Emes, in fact, quotes the Meiri for this purpose. That even if the kli is einet tzarech l'tzir klal, this case in Agamar where he's making a tzir kolshu, the kli does not need the picture. Therefore, it's considered makom patish because it's not integral part of the malacha. If a person is drying out a piece of firewood, he's only over mevashel because it is integral to his melacha that he dries out this twig. Therefore, you cannot be chayev because of makah bepatish at the same time, because makah bepatish means that it is not integral to complete it. It's only the finishing thing. You're now finishing off and making it able to use it. But if the melacha of mevashel is taking place, that means the melacha of makah bepatish cannot be there, because you need the, it, since it's considered bishul, that means it's integral. Makah bepatish would not be as integral as bishul. In fact, there's a very interesting Yerushalmi that says a similar thing. The Yerushalmi says that any malacha that does not have a definition, does not fit into any category of the 39 malachas, will throw it into the pile of makah bepatish. And one of the explanations given is based on this yisoid as well, that any malacha that is not integral in and of itself, it does not have to be done necessarily to complete the work of that particular thing. For example, like we said, a tsar tzir b'kli, to engrave on the kli, it still has a din of makah bepatish, because it does not have a din of any other malacha. By default, it becomes makah bepatish. That means to say, because if I cannot classify a malacha as any particular malacha, that means that this is not a necessary malacha. Because if it would be necessary, it generally would have a category to fit into. Since it does not have a category to fit into, that shows that this malacha is merely extra. It's not necessarily required to finish it off. Therefore, a person would be over Mishra Makah Bepatish, and not because of any other malacha. Rashi on Amud Aleph, on Aradaf, Tafkuf Gimel Amud Aleph, says, he explains the Gemara. The Gemara says that a Koideach Kol Shehu is Chayv. If a person makes a hole in something, he is Chayv Mishum, according to Shmuel, Mishra Makah Bepatish. And the Gemara goes on to ask that how come a person is Chayv Mishra Makah Bepatish? It's not the Gemara Malacha. Tosis explains that to mean that since a person can only be chayav on makah bepatish as a gemar melacha, it does not fit into this category. Rashi does not say it in that exactly those words that Tosis uses. Rashi explains that since later on it's going to be filled up, so the hole is not going to stand in and of itself. Therefore, it's not considered a melacha. The question is, why did Rashi use a different explanation than Tosis? Rashi says simply that it's not a gemar melacha. Tosis says simply it's not a gemar melacha. Rashi adds and says, no, it's not considered a gemar melacha because the person is going to come and fill it up afterwards. So it cannot be considered a gemar melacha. Why is that important? The answer we are able to say, according to what we said before, is that makah bepatish does not necessarily have to be the final step. Makah bepatish could be any step that produces a result that in and of itself. And as long as that step is not necessarily integral, it can still be considered something. So Rashi is explaining that a person who makes a hole, the hole itself has a use. Because a person made it, the hole itself has a necessity. They're able to put in something into the hole. On that, Rashi explains that since you're going to come fill up the hole, therefore you cannot classify this as makah bepatish. But if not for that fact that you're going to come fill it up, the fact that it's not a gemar melacha, Rashi would not be fazed by that. Rashi would say, no, it's still considered a certain level of malacha, as the Meiri mentions before, that it's a certain stage, that it's like, it's not any worse than beginning to make the picture on the kli. So even though I still have to finish the picture, in an arrow case, even though I still have to fill up the hole, it's still considered a beginning. Tosis, on the other hand, views it differently. Tosis says, no, it has to be a gemar malacha completely, in the sense that I'm actually doing something that finishes a product. So even though Tosis could technically agree to Rashi that it could be done along the way, but in this particular instance, Tosis views it that it's not enough considered a finalization of the product, as opposed to Rashi that says that it has it in a makah bepatish along the way.
The Daf Yomi Halacha series has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center. To sign up for the Halacha Center's weekly interactive e-journal, please email subscribe to info@thehalachacenter.org.